Greetings, dear listeners. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 6th of February, 2017. Hope you are doing well in your part of the world. And, you know, I was just going to start the show talking about the Super Bowl. I really was here because I stayed up all night last night watching arguably the best game in the history of the NFL. Certainly one of the best, if not the best, Super Bowls in the history of the NFL, with New England coming back from a 25-point deficit. I wanted to start the show with that, and I will get to the Super Bowl in a minute and tie it into Israel. But just as I was driving here into our studios, sitting next to my main man, Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, a rocket fired, Reuters reports, a rocket fired from Gaza lands in the Ashkelon Coast Regional Council just a few minutes ago here before we started this broadcast on Monday morning Israel time. No immediate reports of injuries or damage in the attack, so we'll have to see if this was a one-off fired by Hamas or one of the other terror groups, jihadist groups there in Gaza. Again, a rocket fired, the code red siren goes off in southern Israel this morning. So I wanted to bring you that news before we talked about the Super Bowl. And really, you know, the main reason, and those of you who know me know I am passionate about sports, especially football. The main reason I'm bringing up the Super Bowl is to offer congratulations to the New England Patriots on their 5th Super Bowl win. And I'm not a Patriots fan. Indianapolis Colts, they're my team, but Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and everything he does for the Jewish people, everything he does for the people here in Israel, he deserves the victory. He deserves all the success in the world, whether it's bringing jobs to Israel, creating opportunities, whether it's the fact that he's building now a multi-million dollar sports facility here in Jerusalem, namely football and other sports as well. The fact that the stadium, which we have now, Kraft Family Stadium, is in his name. He and his wife, Myra, may she rest in peace, great, strong supporters of Israel, the Jewish people, and they're just amazing, amazing people. I'm not crazy about their team, but I wish them only the best, and it's really great that they've had so much success. And even Robert Kraft himself, when he was here after they won their third championship with New England, he said, "The only time we started winning the championships is when we got involved in the Israel Football League, the American Football League in Israel." So I open the show with a big mazal tov to the Kraft family and everybody affiliated. Now, it was a very, very difficult week here in Israel. Switching gears here. With the evacuation of the community of Amona, 40 families thrown out of their homes, made homeless, actually, because the plan that the state was supposed to implement with them to give them homes or to put up homes on an adjacent hill, that fell through when radical anti-Israel organizations protested the moving of those residents to that adjacent hill, saying that was private land, so they couldn't move there. So they're living, as of now, as of this broadcast, I believe they're still living in a dormitory in Ofra. Ofra also in the news because 9 homes in Ofra are slated for demolition in the days ahead. Actually, it was pushed off by a month, from what I understand, the High Court pushing it off for a month. But we have, the bottom line is here, we have a major, major problem. We have the Supreme Court, in my opinion, I think they are the ones ultimately, regardless of who the Prime Minister of the State of Israel is, who the members of Parliament are, who are supposed to be representing the people of the State of Israel. The Supreme Court, along with the extremist left media, they're the ones, I believe, who are calling the shots here. And things have to change. Things have to change. There has to be a better way. I know, you know, these Supreme Court justices, from what I understand, they essentially choose themselves. In other words, when a Supreme Court justice is slated to retire, and I think 4 are in the coming year, they alone decide, if I'm not mistaken, they decide who the next judges will be. It isn't like in the U.S. where you have the president appointing and they go through a whole process and it has to be approved in Congress. The judges pick, and it seems that they are picking the wrong judges time and time again. And here, you have an article in the Jewish Press, jewishpress.com, here, talking about the Amona situation. Again, Amona evacuated, 40 families made homeless. And the Jewish press says the following. It says, quote, Supreme Court Justice Yoram Danziger, who last Wednesday rejected the government outline by which the Amona residents would be evacuated peacefully in return for alternative housing nearby. This is what I was describing before. On the same day, he, Danziger, ruled against the evacuation of Arabs from their illegal houses built on private land belonging to Jews in Beit Hanina, that's a Jerusalem neighborhood. This was reported initially by Makor Rishon, their legal department on Friday, their legal desk, actually, on Friday. According to several sources, and here's a big problem, Danziger was a member of the Peace Now movement and spoke at the movement's 1978 student rally in Tel Aviv about the need for solidarity with the PLO. So this is a member of Israel's High Court of Justice, the highest court in the land, affiliated with a radical anti-Israel or left-wing or whatever you want to call it organization, who was in favor of talking to the PLO. This is way back in 1978, talking about the need to form some sort of solidarity with the PLO. And he's the one making these decisions, or at least one of the judges making the decisions on Amona. And that is where the problem lies. You have Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked, who has been talking about changing the system, replacing retired justices with ones who are perhaps less biased. Let's see if she has the power or the ability to do so. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how this works or how the government could make these changes, how Minister Shaked or the Prime Minister could implement changes, but we have a major problem here when it comes to who are the Supreme Court judges and how they are ruling a certain set of rules for one population and then another set of rules for another population. Michael Freund, good friend, wrote an op-ed also appearing in the Jewish press. It was in the Jerusalem Post, on his website as well, titled Amona Shall Rise Again, describing the situation in Amona and describing how horrible it was that it was exactly 11 years ago, February 1st, 2006, that Prime Minister Ehud Olmert carried out demolitions of homes in Amona the first time. That was 11 years ago. And now here we are, he says, a decade later, and once again, Amona's Jews being dragged out of their homes by the very same government that encouraged them to move there in the first place. They had a budget. They had support and infrastructure, he says, which is absolutely true over the years from the government. Yet, they were thrown out of their homes, these pioneers, left homeless in the heartland of the Jewish people. And this is the point. Freund continues. He says, quote, whatever legal problems that might have existed with regard to the status of some of the lands on which Amona was built could have been addressed through a variety of other means. Short of demolition, they could have done something else. They could have paid the landowners if there were landowners. And we still don't know who they are because the claims were brought by these left-wing organizations on behalf of some owner, some Arab owner who is unidentified. We don't know, you know, what existing claims there are all the way back to times of when Jordan had an illegal occupation of the area. We don't know who the owner is, and we're talking about the claim itself, which we don't know if that's accurate, is only about 5%, if not less, of the entire Amona. Yet the Supreme Court ruled to destroy the entire community over perhaps a small portion, which maybe was so-called private land. We don't even know, but yet they went ahead and did so. Freund continues, supporters of Amona's removal from the map cite the fact that Israel is a country based on the rule of law, and here's the point. And the law must be upheld. Of course, what they failed to mention is that the manner in which the rule of law is upheld is no less crucial, and that when it is selectively used against one sector of the population more than another, it can hardly be considered just. That is the point, and he is just continuing the point that I was making up until now, that something has to be done in terms of the Supreme Court changing the way the justices are brought on and getting rid of this bias against a certain group of people, specifically the residents of Judea and Samaria, where it seems that they're being ruled against time and time again. Enough with the evacuations and the demolitions of homes. You do have the Knesset actually today set to vote, actually this evening, tonight, on what some are calling the Settlement Regulation Bill, which would legalize 4,000 homes in Judea and Samaria, where there might be Arab landowners who, at the end of the day, will not be seeing this land, and they will not be seeing the land where Amona sat and where Ulpana sat in Bet El. They won't be seeing that land either, because it's not, you don't even know who the landowner is. It's all a ruse. It's all a way of throwing Jews off their land, and it's a big, big problem. We're going to take a short break, but before we do so, just want to let you know how you can get in touch with me. I appreciate all of those who contact me via Facebook, Twitter, and email. Email, we'll start with that, josh@thelandofisrael.com. Again, josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Twitter, @JoshHaston. And on Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. We're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors and come right back. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com for the 6th of February, 2017. Shout out to Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Short break. We'll be right back.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center. The view, the location, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
Are back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 6th of February, 2017. It is Monday morning. I honestly do not know how I am awake, pulling an all-nighter to watch the Super Bowl, one of the most memorable, if not greatest Super Bowl ever. The New England Patriots with the owner Robert Kraft defeating the Atlanta Falcons in overtime 34-28, coming back from 28-3, and this is not a sports show. But Robert Kraft's ties to Israel make it relevant to discuss here this morning. It's probably the top news story around the globe. In addition, we talked earlier here locally that a rocket was launched, landed near Ashkelon in the Ashkelon Regional Council this morning. No injuries reported. And if anything comes up by the time this recording is over, we'll let you know about it. But listen to the Land of Israel Network and all the other shows on a rocket update. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter here at the Land of Israel Network, where the information is updated regularly. You can follow the news from Israel. A lot of the news which you're not getting from the mainstream media, that's what we're all about here. So Martin Sherman, who was a guest on this show just several weeks ago. By the way, I'm not having any guests on today. We've had some great guests, Martin Sherman, Carolyn Glick, Nadia Matar, Dan Diker over the last couple of weeks. But I feel like we haven't spoken, you and I know you can't talk back in real time, because this is a recording, it's not live, but I feel like I haven't just had a chance to pick up the microphone and just share what's on my mind, but that's what we're doing here today. Speaking of Martin Sherman, he wrote a piece this week titled, "Now that Trump is in the White House, can Israel seize the moment?" And this is printed in various sources. This one in the Allgemeiner, and I printed it off the Allgemeiner, talking about, will Israel, now that we have a friend in the White House, and that very much looks like to be the case, and I believe that is the case, what is Israel going to do? The ball's in Israel's court to act. It's not on the Trump administration to decide what's best for Israel. It's not on anybody else. Israel needs to act and do what's best, do what's in its interests, and I think that's the crux here of the article, and I just want to share a little bit of the article with you. He says, does Dr. Martin Sherman, quote, "More than ever before, Israel's destiny is in its own hands. The outcome of the U.S. elections have given it a real chance to shape its destiny. The crucial question now is whether it will seize the moment or let it slip away." That is the question that we need to ask ourselves. And Dr. Sherman talks about moving the embassy to Jerusalem and all the other things that Israel can potentially do or should do now that we do have a friend in the White House. But it has to come from within. It has to come from Israel. Nobody could be more Catholic as the Pope, as they say. And our prime minister now, who's off to visit London to speak with the new Prime Minister of London, Theresa May. Is that how you pronounce it, Ben? Is it Theresa or Theresa? Theresa May?
UK Prime Minister Theresa May.
Prime Minister Theresa May.
Prime Minister Theresa May.
Theresa May. He's off to speak to her today. Also meeting with British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. And then next week, the Prime Minister set to meet with President Donald Trump. So again, it's in our hands, folks, here in Israel, if you're listening. It's in our hands to encourage our government to do what is best for the people of Israel, especially now when we do have a friend in the White House in Washington, D.C. As I mentioned in the first half of the show, this just reported yesterday, the court delays Ofra home destruction by 1 month. The residents of Ofra, reported here by JewishPress.com, requested a three-month delay in the court-ordered destruction of 9 homes in their community in order to give the families time to complete construction of their new houses. So they were asking for a delay of three months, and it looks like they're only getting 1 month. Yesterday, there was a huge demonstration in Ofra calling on the government not to destroy any of the homes. And if you go to my Facebook page, you see that somebody took shots from a drone. You can see how many people are out there showing their support for the residents of Ofra, talking about the Amona evacuation, which just happened last week, and how people don't want to see another evacuation. They don't want to see Jews being thrown out of their homes in Judea and in Samaria. So again, pushed off by a month, and we'll have to see how this plays out. We'll have to see if the what's called the settlement regulation bill, if that passes. The prime minister apparently wants to try to push off any of that bill until he meets with President Trump. We'll see what happens. Maybe by tomorrow we'll know more, and you can listen to the Land of Israel for other broadcasters talking about the ramifications there. We'll see how the Knesset votes later this evening. With the situation in Ofra and Amona, you do have people who are upset with several of the ministers, including Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked, who went to visit Ofra on Saturday night, and they were heckled by some of the residents there, upset that they didn't do enough to try to save Amona in the view of these people, in the view of the residents in Ofra, or some of them. Again, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about those who came out and actually heckled Minister Bennett and Minister Shaked. This reported by the Jerusalem Post. One of them yelled, "You caved to Bibi," as in Prime Minister Netanyahu, shouting at the politicians, "You should be ashamed of yourself," said another. Again, so people are very upset. It's one of these scenes that we saw it with Gush Katif back in 2005. Maybe some thought you'd never see it again, but over the years, whether it's Amona or the Ulpana or Migron, we have seen Jews being thrown out of their homes by various governments. You know, it's understandable, the frustration and everything that people are going through now with Ofra, with homes not being ready, being evacuated from homes, not having places to go. I mean, I don't know where the Amona people are going, where they're going to go. I mean, how long can they stay inside dorms, probably sleeping on bunk beds? I mean, they're essentially homeless. I don't know where they're going to go in a week from now, once they've had enough of these cramped living conditions in dorms. I mean, eventually, I guess whoever was living in the dorm before, whatever students were there, eventually gonna want to come back, go back to school, and stay in the dorms. So we'll have to see what's in store for the residents there. Anti-Semitism, switching gears now. It doesn't just happen in Europe. It happens in the U.S. as well. It happens all over the world. And there was an anti-Semitic attack at a synagogue in Chicago just the other day. Attackers shattering glass at Chicago Loop Synagogue. The Loop is the, I guess, the highway or whatnot that goes, it circles downtown Chicago. Chicago police reported here have opened a hate crime investigation after a plate glass window of the Chicago Loop Synagogue in downtown Chicago was shattered shortly after midnight on Shabbat. Black and white swastika stickers were plastered on the front doors of the synagogue. It's reported by the Jewish Press. The synagogue, founded 90 years ago, is one of the city's central synagogues. Not to be left out, New Yorkers the other day were on the subway, the one train. If you know the one train, it goes from all the way, I think, from up from Riverdale all the way down to South Street Seaport, or the exit down there at the very tip of Lower Manhattan. It's a ride that goes all the way up and down there on the west side. People got on the subway Saturday night, February 4th, to find swastikas on every advertisement in every window of one of the train cars. So people weren't sure what to do, and according to a first-hand account printed in the foreword, one guy got up and said, "Hand sanitizer gets rid of Sharpie. We need alcohol." They found some tissues, and the New Yorkers on the subway car got together and simultaneously reached into their bags, taking out Purell and tissues, and wiped away the swastikas. So this is, on one hand, it's a, you know, it's great to see the New Yorkers getting together and getting rid of the swastikas inside the subway car. On the other hand, swastikas in New York, swastikas in Chicago, not to be outdone by the anti-Semites in those two cities. The UK reporting a record high in anti-Semitism. Here we are in 2017, and Jewish leaders were meeting in the UK over the weekend. I think they had one of these Limud FSU conferences, and the leaders discussed the fact that there is a record high in anti-Semitic hate crimes in the United Kingdom. Malcolm Homeline, one of the speakers there, the executive vice chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, said there's less anti-Semitism in Azerbaijan or Kazakhstan than there is in Europe right now. He asks, what did the Jews do wrong? He says, it's not what they did wrong, it's what we did right. We're a strong and unified people, both in Europe and around the world, and the unity of the Jewish people will cause this resurgence of anti-Semitism to melt away. Optimistic, nevertheless, more anti-Semitism in London than in any other European city, according to Chaim Chesler, Limud FSU founder. So they're having a real problem in London. It's bad enough in places like France and Sweden and other countries in Europe, but London, apparently, England, apparently has a record high of anti-Semitism. Come home to Israel. I mean, we have our problems here, too, but I still feel safer. I've said it before on the show. I still feel safer here knowing that our security forces are working 24/7 to try to prevent any of these anti-Semitic, and these are anti-Semitic attacks, the rock attacks, the firebomb attacks, the shootings, the stabbings, and everything else which, you know, has happened in recent days, weeks, months, and years here in Israel. I still feel safer here knowing that there is a security force, a Jewish force here protecting us. I know that on Road 375, for example, the one that connects Gush Etzion to Beit Shemesh via Beitar, you can see pictures on my Facebook page, there have been so many rock attacks of late. And I'm not saying this, you know, I told people on my Facebook page, I'm not saying it to scare people, and I'm not trying to discourage people from visiting Israel and coming and visiting Judea and Samaria, but people just need to have their heads up and be aware of the situation, and people need to share it and report it to our leaders so that they give a green light to these security forces that I've been mentioning to go in and prevent these rock attacks. Because I think a message has to be sent, and I think that those who throw these rocks need to know that there's a heavy and a steep price for going out and try to murder on our roads, because it is nothing short of attempted murder when you throw rocks. Trust me, I know it firsthand, and people have been killed and have been murdered in recent years through the throwing of rocks. So that has to stop immediately. That's really about it for today. That's about it. And please God, things will be quiet over the next couple days. I don't see anything in terms of any updates on the rocket fire. I'm checking my phone now as we speak here at 10:02 in the morning on the 6th of February. I don't see any other reports, so we'll have to see if there was a one-off rocket attack or if this was some kind of new round. Reports did indicate over the week that Hamas is building up their capabilities, whether it's tunnels or rockets. I don't know if it's the same level as it was in 2014 in terms of their capabilities, but some of the reports indicate that they are nearing that mark, or they have reached that mark. So we'll have to see how this plays out. Anyway, I want to thank Benjamin Bresky again, engineer extraordinaire. I want to thank everyone at the Land of Israel Network. My name is Josh Haston. Be in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com. That is my email. Thank you very much for being in touch. On Twitter, @JoshHaston, and on Facebook, Joshua Haston. And by the way, I was just interviewed on a panel on the Al Jazeera Network.
And Josh Haston, he's a talk radio host for the Land of Israel Network in the West Bank.
Part one is up actually on both my Facebook page and the Land of Israel's Facebook page, and part two of that panel discussion about what they call settlements is going up today. So check that out. Let me know what you thought of how I did against it. It was myself and an Arab living in Ramallah and somebody living in Haifa. from the Adalah extremist anti-Israel organization and one other Israeli. Let me know what you think of that debate that we had. Let me know how you think I did. If I didn't do so well, let me know what points I should have stressed for the next time around. That's all from Jerusalem. A beautiful sunny day between now and the next time we talk. Everybody out there, thanks for listening and be safe. Shalom from Jerusalem.
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's Hayuvel.com for more information.
And Josh Haston, he's a talk radio host for the Land of Israel Network in the West Bank. Welcome, everybody. Josh, I've been having a look for your Twitter feed. I hope you don't mind about that. Let me show everybody one tweet that was from the beginning of the month. Sad day in Israel as Jews are being thrown out of their homes. Where will they sleep tonight? There's no plan for Amona residents. Were you personally sad, Josh? Are you reflecting what you feel Israelis are thinking right now?
Yeah, I'm definitely personally sad about what happened. The residents of Amona had a deal with the state in terms of where they were going to go, assuming that this demolition was imminent. And in fact, over the last 48 hours, Amona was taken down. And tonight they're sleeping in a nearby high school or local dormitory with no place to go. I mean, that really wasn't the plan when they were told that they were going to be evicted from their home. So yes, it is a sad day here in Israel. And the images that you showed here on the show, to me, are extremely sad. People being thrown out of their homes and literally into the streets. We've seen this before in Israel. We saw this with the expulsion of Jews, all Jewish life from Gaza back in 2005. And now we have a repeat. So it is a sad day for me here in Israel. It's a sad day for a lot of people who are following this story very closely.
Area B is administered by Israelis and Palestinians. Josh, what did you want to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to jump in here. Number one, I need to state for the record that the communities in Judea and Samaria, what some might refer to as the West Bank, I'm hearing this over and over again from some of the other guests, are not illegal. They are not illegal under international law. That's a misconception, 100%. The last legal ruling party here, we're talking about the League of Nations back in 1922, designated every parcel of land west of the Jordan River for the future Israeli Jewish state. So it's not illegal. I mean, you have to really do your homework to understand the situation here. But the Jewish community, some may call them disputed, but they are not illegal. Right. There was no higher power here. The only illegal occupation that I know of is the occupation that took place between 1948 and 1967 when Jordan illegally occupied this area, which nobody recognized their rule here. But I just want to comment, just one more comment about Hiran, if we can. The other guest said that el-Hiran was being demolished for a Jewish town called Hiran. That's absolutely false. The town of Hiran, which is in pre-1967 Israel, down in the Negev Desert, is actually open to everyone, to Jews, to Muslims, to Bedouin, whoever wants to live in Hiran. el-Hiran is an illegal encampment.
Because Adam wants to actually have a conversation with you. Adam, you're bursting to talk. Go ahead.